Srimad-Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 24, entitled Chanting the Song Sung by Lord Shiva, Text 31. Idam vivektam japtavyam,
idam vivektam japtavyam,
pavitram mangalam param,
pavitram mangalam param,
ishreya sakaram chapi,
ishreya sakaram chapi,
shuyatam tatpadameva,
shuyatam tatpadameva.
Idam,
this,
vivektam,
very,
particular.
Also.
Japtavyam,
always to be chanted.
Pavitram,
very pure.
Mangalam,
auspicious.
Param,
transcendental.
Nishreyasa karam,
very beneficial.
Cha,
also.
Api,
certainly.
Suryatam,
please hear.
Ta, that.
Vadami,
I am speaking.
Vaha,
unto you. Translation. Now I shall chant one mantra, which is not only transcendental, pure, and auspicious, but is the best prayer for anyone who is aspiring to attain the ultimate goal of life. When I chant this mantra, please hear it carefully and attentively. Purport. The word vivektam is very significant. No one should think of the prayers recited by Lord Shiva as being sectarian. Rather, they're very confidential, so much so that anyone desiring the ultimate prosperity or auspicious goal of life must take the instruction of Lord Shiva and pray to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead as Lord Shiva himself did. Yes, so Lord Shiva is bestowing mercy upon the Pachetans, and he's doing so by giving them a mantra by which they can attain the ultimate goal of life. We're seeing that throughout the Bhagavatam, this process of chanting mantra is there, even in previous yugas. Like, for example, when Dhruva Maharaj was in the forest and Narada Muni instructed him, Narada Muni told him to practice yoga, and he was doing austerities and so on. He told him to make a deity out of clay, which he did, and he told him to chant the mantra Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So the chanting of mantra was there. Maybe in previous times also other processes were there in other yugas, just as we see Kriteya Jayatu, in the Krita Yuga or the Satya Yuga, it is Yajayato, it is meditation. In Tretyam Jayatu Makai, in Treta Yuga it is Makai, it is sacrifices, and Dvapara Paricharya, in Dvapara it is worshipping the deity, in Kali Yuga Hari Kirtana, in Kali Yuga it is offering of Hari Kirtana, it is the chanting of the mantra. But mantras have been part of or at the core of self-realization at any time. Even Lord Brahma, we know that the mantra he was chanting is the Kama Gayatri mantra. So in this way, Lord Brahma also is actually worshipping the Lord by chanting a mantra. So since he is the first living being in the universe, since he is the beginning of all sadhana, of all practice in devotional service, therefore we can say that mantra chanting has been part of the or has been at the core of the transcendental process for attaining the Supreme Lord since the very beginning of the creation. So that is important. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita also we see in Gopakumara is traveling from planet to planet, and it says he does so on the strength of his mantra. Now, okay, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we're seeing that Gopakumara in one life travels from planet to planet. A And that may, for most of us, not be the case. But as Srila Prabhupada writes, an easy journey to other planets, that we are not going by some spacecraft to another planet, but we go to another planet by changing our bodies, right? In life. And therefore, by the chanting of the mantra, the change of our bodies will be determined. Yam yam bhavi svaram bhavam charchi antakale ram, whatever state of consciousness we remember at the end of life. So the mantra alters the state of consciousness, and that is really what is happening. In this way, and it said jnanat va agyanat va, knowingly or unknowingly, the result will be there. So even if we chant unknowingly, still there will be the benefit, as we see from Ajamya, who had no intention to chant the holy name of the Lord, but then somehow or other called out the name of his son Narayan. Due to some previous piety, he had named his son Narayan. And that was like such a benediction, because calling out the name of his son with love and affection, and not with in mind any other goal. He was simply calling out the name of the Lord. He was not calling out the name of the Lord with fruitive intent or anything like that. Therefore, it was chanted innocently and therefore without offense. There was not an offense. It wasn't like chanting with a business mentality. And we think, what am I getting from it? No. And therefore, he very quickly attained the benefit from that chanting. And eventually he went back to Godhead. So we should chant our mantra and really take shelter of it. And Bhagavatam is building our faith in the mantra, which is very necessary, because somehow or other, although this chanting is the most powerful aspect of devotional service, the first and foremost of all the 64 limbs of bhakti. There are five which are very prominent, but yet, out of these five, this chanting of the holy name of the Lord is the first and foremost, and somehow or other, that one is difficult, especially in japa. It's like when we chant in kirtan, it may also be a test, but still, we get the energy of other people. The melody, the rhythm, all these things, the fact that everyone is chanting and this and that, we get swept up in the kirtan. It's easier. But japa, it's like a cold shower. So when you're chanting in kirtan, the holy name in kirtan, and the melody is very sweet and this and that, and you really feel like, oh, you know, I'm just approaching bhava. I'm almost there. And one could think so. But in chanting japa, you realize, I'm a total neophyte. I have no taste at all. I have no ruchi whatsoever. That is the case. So it is, but that japa, it is with us. Throughout our life, in so many situations, it stays. We take that vow, Sankhya Purva Ganama Gana Natibi, to every day chant in a regular fashion. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is said that he had a string, according to Prabodhananda Saraswati, he had a string with knots, and he would chant on the knots. Other times he was chanting on his fingers. So, whatever. Maybe, but he was counting the rounds and completing a regular quota for the pleasure of the Lord. So this process of regularly chanting the holy name is becoming our anchor. It is our anchor. on the waves of material nature that create endless varieties. It's like you never know what's going to happen next in life. Anything can happen, right? Because that's the nature of the material world. So many combinations of the material energy come about and they create new circumstances every day. You read the news and what's going on. But it is repetitious, but it's still a variety of the same thing. So in this way, we're uncertain what will happen. But that chanting will stay with us. And it will build up momentum, and it will be our shelter. It will be the one thing that will give us strength. And if we can manage to chant 16 rounds in the morning, that especially is giving us a special strength. Best is uninterrupted, because the best devotional service is ahaitiki apatiyata. Thank you. Apatiyata. It is unmotivated and uninterrupted. So that is a fact. When we are just chanting in an uninterrupted way, name after name, right? Then the absorption is there. Some people are filling out sadhana charts, and you look at the charts and it's checkered, you know, the two rounds here, one round there. It's all over the place, right? That's okay, because at least we are chanting faithfully. So it is good. We're fulfilling the vow, and that's not a small thing. And the mercy is there. But if you want more absorption, obviously, then uninterrupted chanting is powerful. And that is done the best in the morning, when before the world wakes up. Brahma Muhurta is, besides that, in a more subtle way, the Brahma Muhurta is the is in the mode of goodness. Right? Besides that aspect of it, in a very practical way, the Brahma Muhurta is great because the world is still asleep, and that helps. Of course, in this day and age, with international communication, it may not always be the case that the world is still asleep, because when it's morning in Australia, it's evening in Europe, and they're going strong in another mode of nature. So in this, because morning is predominated by goodness, noon by passion, and evening by ignorance. Anyway, this chanting is completely transcendental to the three modes of material nature. And it takes over. In the Madhurya Kadambini of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is giving an explanation of how, in the beginning, the material energy is all pervading and our spiritual life is localized. So it's like a small little island, localized. He doesn't use that island, that's my addition. I add the metaphor. But he says it's localized, like small. And the material energy is all pervading. He says that with time, the spiritual area, the area of one's spiritual domain is increasing. It's increasing a bit. But still, the material energy will be very much present, still in your face. So your islands become a little bigger, but the ship, right, with Maya and all the little sailors, either male or female, whatever you like, are right there on the ship, waving at you in your face, and so it's a fight. In the beginning, spiritual life is a big fight. A big fight with the mind and the senses. And that fight doesn't just disappear, because it is said, as we're progressing and as purification goes on, even at Nista, the ship is maybe not in our face anymore. It says now the material energy is a bit at a bit of distance. okay, it becomes a little bit easier, a nista. Yeah? That's when you're very firmly fixed up and when you are putting your faith in spiritual life rather than in material arrangement and security. When I'm talking about faith, faith is related to our constitutional nature. And according to the Vedanta Sutra, the living being is by nature anandamayi vyasat, by nature pleasure seeking. So our faith will go wherever we think pleasure will be. So if we think pleasure will be in money, then it's money, money, money. If you think pleasure will be in marriage, then it's marriage, marriage, marriage. If you think happiness will be found with Krishna, then it's Krishna. So in nista, we think that happiness will be found with Krishna. And we don't believe anymore that all these other things are there, that will bring happiness. Therefore, at nista, one can make a declaration, a formal declaration of no faith in sex. That this will make us happy now. No, we believe that Krishna consciousness will make us happy. So that's a very advanced stage. And at nista, the material influence is now at some distance, but it hasn't disappeared. It's still there and still pushing. Then at ruchi, it is said, at ruchi, the consciousness, the entire consciousness becomes covered by taste. It becomes covered. So the surface of the ocean now becomes covered by taste. The ship is gone even further away. It is three quarters towards the horizon. Then comes ashakti. It is said at ashakti, the taste now goes deep. It goes deeply under the surface of the consciousness. And the material influence is now on the horizon. So the ship is far away on the horizon. It's said at bhava that attachment is even deepened and bringing greater experience of ecstasy. And it is said the ship has, or now the material influence has become only a shadow. Only a shadow. Or the ship has gone behind the horizon, but some smoke is still rising above the horizon. And then at praying, then the one's spiritual realization is complete. And everything has become transcendental. And one sees everything is positive. One just sees everywhere Krishna and everything in relation with Krishna. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in this regard, it says that Rupa Goswami, he makes a distinction between sadhana bhakti, bhava bhakti, and prema bhakti. So then, in the commentary of Jiva Goswami, the question is raised, why is he making a distinction between bhava bhakti and prema bhakti when they are of the same nature? They're of the same nature, no difference. But he's saying there is a difference, and the difference is that in bhava bhakti, although there is great love for Krishna, there still is a sense of klesh, a sense of suffering. There still is a sense of obstacles. We're always struggling with obstacles, and there's still a sense of obstacles. And it is due to residues or remnants of previous Vaishnava aparat. That's interesting, I thought. And then in brain, there is no sense of any obstacle whatsoever. Everything, one sees everything is perfect. Everything is just wonderfully arranged and connected to Krishna. Anyway, chanting the mantra. So we're chanting the mantra in different stages. And in different stages, the mantra experience is totally different. Totally different. But the chanting of the mantra, even if it is chanted in a conditioned state where the material influence is still very strong, is really attracting the mercy of Krishna. And that is, for us, the most important thing. Although, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, you find a description of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who came before his spiritual master, and said, "What kind of mantra have you given me? What kind of mantra have you given me? This mantra has made me mad." And the spiritual master said, Oh, this mantra has made you mad. He said, "This is very rare. You are very fortunate. You are very fortunate. This is very rare." So it is very rare that Krishna praying on that level of transcendental madness, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed it, with very strong, overwhelming love of God. That is very rare. For most of us, the chanting continues throughout our life in a conditioned state. But we chant faithfully, at least. And sometimes we chant with some taste also. And we chant with inspiration. And we chant because we have strong faith in it. Strong faith that if we chant this mantra, that surely will attain Krishna's mercy. And this is it. So faithful chanting with strong conviction. Yes, we will attain Krishna's mercy by his chanting. This is what we... This is our mantra. And thus the mantra becomes part of our life. I remember in the 80s when we were on traveling Sankirtan in Australia, one time we stayed in a caravan park which was right next to a racing track. And in the morning we chanted our rounds, doing rounds on the racing track. Yeah. It was nice. Everyone had his track, and we were like, okay, let's chant our rounds. And I've chanted rounds in all kinds of conditions, with malaria, shivering, and somehow or other, taking from the morning to the night. I have one time chanted 16 rounds in 1 hour. Yeah? I've done it. In 1 hour, Adi, it was on a flight from Mildura to Melbourne. And I had this plane which was called the Cigar. Yeah? It was like a terrible little plane. You got earmuffs, and it was, even when the weather was good, it was moving and shaking, and I didn't like that. And then we got bad weather, really bad weather. And this plane, it was just all over the place. And I just was chanting. And I managed 16 rounds in 1 hour in total fear. What to say? Okay, at least I took shelter of the holy name. But I wasn't like Prahlad Maharaj, who was just completely surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and who was accepting whatever came as mercy of the Lord. Prahlad, he was thrown in a pit of snakes, and he was praying. Now, I would also be praying if you throw me in a pit of snakes. But I guess, different, right? I would pray out of fear. And Prahlad, he was totally fearless. No fear affected him at all. Of course, Vedanta Deshika, who is like one of the principal disciples in coming from in the line of Ramanuja Acharya, and who wrote, a great scholar who wrote many books, he is saying, he's addressing this, "My dear Prahlad, how come How come you have no fear? How come you have no fear of the snakes? He said, look, my father is resting on a bed of snakes, right? So when a child is playing on the bed of his father, is he afraid? Therefore, why would I have fear of the snakes? In this way, he was completely feeling protected. He was feeling protected in all respects. In this way, it's a longer thing, but I forgot it. I would have to look it up. He was also not afraid of fire and also not afraid of poison, but I just can't remember now the other details. It's on my blog somewhere to check it out. Getting rusty. Anyway, but the point is there that we may channel different levels, right? Faithful or completely transcendental, in ecstasy, fearless, really fearless, abhayam. That is something where we begin to put all our faith in Krishna. All our faith in Krishna, completely. We say, yes, Krishna, you are in control of my destiny. I mean, otherwise we live in the way that, yes, Krishna, you are the supreme controller, and I'm a small controller, and I'm trying to control my life as much as possible, every inch of it, you know. And please bless it, you know? Please. Yeah. Oh, Krishna, please bless my plans, whatever I want to do. I'm praying to you like anything. Yes, no. We see in the great devotees, they just leave it up to Krishna, as Krishna desires. And as long as we are these little controllers, pious little controllers, praying little controllers, little controllers like, oh Krishna, no please, I know you are the Supreme Lord, I'm not arguing with that at all, I accept it, and I'm bowing down to you also, but please bless my plans. Oh yes, whatever plans I. There's an interesting Back to Godhead magazine, which I liked, because in the magazine there's a lecture of Srila Prabhupada, as they usually have, and in the lecture of Srila Prabhupada, the transcript of it, Prabhupada says, we shouldn't make plans, we should just rely on the plan of Krishna. And then, a little later, there's an editorial by Satsarup Maharaj, and there it says that one should make plans for Krishna. So here Prabhupada, the guru, says we should not make plans and we should rely on Krishna. And there the disciple is saying we should make plans for Krishna. So I like that Back to Godhead because it showed a broken link in the parampara. It showed how the disciple deviated from the spiritual master. Oh my God. And it's right there in black and white and in print. Right? So it's one of my favorite BTGs, I must say. But looking at it on a little bit deeper level, no, there is no contradiction. Both are there. We must make plans for Krishna. Absolutely. But then, at the end, as Prabhupada told us many times, we work as if the result depends on us, but in the end, we fully depend on Krishna, whatever the outcome may be. So that is Prahlad, completely dependent on whatever outcome Krishna desires. Accepting that Krishna is more intelligent. You know, sometimes you're trying to save an insect, right? I mean, it's from water or whatever. You're trying to save this insect, right? And it's so difficult, because this insect is just thinking, instead of relying on us, right, the insect is sort of trying to go its own way and going straight for death, right? Straight, and we see it. Right? We can see it, oh my God. But that insect with this tiny little insect brain cannot understand. You're running straight for your death. I saw it also in Australia when I was asked to pay back my ticket, which Balaram had paid for me, for bringing me to Australia, and the one of the wife as well. And I had to, and Gyana Samudra took me out on paintings, right? And took me, and he's going to show me how to do it. And says, it's really easy, you know, just here's your roll, and you just roll them, and you just roll it out, and you show all the paintings. If somebody likes it, you put one aside, and in the end, you make the bill, you know? And it's like, no problem. So he just put me out of the van, and I'm walking with a roll of paintings. And as I'm walking in Leverton, I didn't know what Leverton was, but that's where it was. As I'm walking with my paintings, I see a sign, blood and bones, $20. And I'm looking like, blood and bones? Whose blood? Whose bones? And then I come to this, the first factory I go inside, it's a place where they slaughter chickens. And I have to sell them paintings. So anyway, I'm holding up, and the man is killing chickens while I'm showing him the paintings. And he bought $400 worth. First man, you know. And there was blood on the money. And I go, oh my God, you know, what is this? Anyway, I says, should I take this money? I said, came straight from Vrindavan. Can I even touch this money? I said, well, I guess money can be taken over to Krishna. I said, like, oh my God. And then I walked out, and there was a chicken on the outside of the fence trying to get in. I told that chicken, run, chicken, run, run. Didn't listen, you know, didn't listen, trying to get in. Run, chicken, run. So, God, you know. So in this way, we are going in the wrong direction. The Supreme Lord says, run, run. Run, little human, run. We think, no, but you know, I have a plan, and you know, all the other chickens went that way, and I'm a chicken, so I must also go that way, you know. You know, if everybody does it, then, you know, how can I do something different? No, no, no. All the chickens went that way, so I must also go that way. Yes. Supreme Lord sends his representative, you know, he says, run, run, run. All the chickens going that way. I'm a chicken, you know, you don't understand. You're not a chicken, but I'm a chicken, so I must do what chickens do. Yeah. And in this way, I don't want to know what happened to my little chicken. I don't want to know. You know, it's like, it's just, but, you know, I had a feeling that that chicken was in the soup. I had a feeling what to do. So this is the situation. And the parallel is not difficult to see. How we try to rely too much on our own intelligence, and that it will not bring us anywhere. It will not bring us to happiness. But we think it will. And because we are Anandamay Vyasat, that is pre-wired. We are programmed to look for happiness. We'll just look for happiness and happiness and happiness. And happiness is with Krishna. But yeah, I don't mind that. As long as I can bring my hand on it. I'll definitely, yeah. As long as I can bring my hand luggage. And in my hand luggage, all my attachments, they're there. Yeah. It's like recently there was this, some problem with the plane. And, you know, like, and people had to get off the plane, the emergency, they were on the ground, there was fire or something, and they had to get off. And, you know, and the The rule is leave your hand luggage, right? Mm-hmm. And everyone ignored it. They all started to take their hand luggage.
Emirates in Dubai.
Yeah, it was an Emirates in Dubai. It was, I don't want to criticize, but the passengers were mostly Indian. Yeah? And they, generally, Indians generally don't listen so much to kind of directions, you know. Remain in your seat, yeah, and they stand up, you know. It's like, that's what they just do. They're not so obedient to these things. And I think, I'm leaving my hand luggage. I'm not going to leave my hand luggage, you know. That's where all the valuables are, man. Forget it, you know, I'm not leaving that. Yeah, iPads, computers, and so on. Yeah, no way. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah. So everyone's taking the hand luggage. Yes, this is it. This is what is why. And then, of course, it slows down the time to get off the plane considerably. You know, all this hand luggage, not just taking it out, but dragging it out. You know, like this, that, blocking other people. It takes much longer. And they were giving all kinds of articles about it. It's like, you know, they have to be able to empty out a plane within 2 minutes because, you know, with the fuel in the plane and the fire, it may explode. Right? Therefore, within 2 minutes, we should get all the passengers off the plane. No way in 2 minutes you can get all the passengers off the plane. They write all this nonsense in the newspaper. You can't. You can't. Anyway. The fact of the matter is that the plane, that we are dragging our hand luggage along into spiritual life. And that is the essence of what we have to keep in mind. Because we put our faith in these things. Now all these things, these are very precious things. Very precious things. There was some foolish movie on a plane, but I mean, you see it, so, and someone next to me was watching it, so I sort of looked also a bit, and it was about some billionaires, and they had a secret safe with their most valuable items, right? And like, you know, so some gang was trying to get to it, and finally they got to it, and like, when they got into this thing, all they found was just cheap things, you know, just nothing valuable. Just cheap things. There was a bird stand for a parrot. There was some balloons were there, you know, it was all rubbish, you know. So they had gone through so much trouble to get into this vault, right? And it was just full of rubbish. So they had also kidnapped the billionaires, you know, him and his wife. So okay, the criminals went back, you know, and it's like, you know, what is this? Where is the real wealth? You know, where is it? Where have you hidden it? You know, you're fooling us, right? You're like ready for some serious torture, you know. And the billionaires were saying, no. He says, what are you looking for? You know. The money, said, the money is in the bank, you know. The money is in the bank. He said, but this is our real wealth. He said, this money. He said, these things, you know, these things. You know, this stand of the parrot. He said, like, you know, this is the stand. She had a parrot when I met her for the first time. And when I fell in love with her, this stand and this parrot was there. And therefore this stand is a great treasure to us. It's a great treasure. And the balloons, you know, they are the balloons from the first birthday of our son. And like this, you know, they had their treasures, right? All their treasures. Because we can see their faith was there in these things, not in the bird stand, but in the love between man and woman, in the love for a child, in the love for a car, then the car was parked in, all these things. Yeah. So it was interesting. In the end, it wasn't so stupid, that movie, after all. It had something. Yeah. It made a point. It is true that such points are to be considered philosophically. We cannot cut attachments, because attachment will just go under the surface. It will just, if you try to cut the attachment, it will just be under the surface. You cut the top, and under the surface is still there. You can't. And so that's not our aim. But philosophically, we can approach it and look at it like, what is this really worth? The Bhagavatam does that to us. It takes us on a journey of looking at all our relationships in this material world as to how meaningful are all these relationships really? Relationships with people, relationships with things, all these relationships. How meaningful are they really? In comparison to the relationship with the Supreme Lord. And that's the point. Attachments, material attachment, it's okay. But no sinful ones. But there's nothing, material attachment you can have, as long as we appreciate that the attachment for Krishna comes first. So one can say to one's beloved, darling, you are the most wonderful person in the world after Krishna. It's a very romantic thing to say. Yeah. And in this way, the mantra, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, will gradually bring about that awareness, that attachment to Krishna is more important than any other. And it's amazing how it does that, even to people who are attached to so many things in this world. Therefore, with great faith, we must continue to chant the Holy Name. Thank you. Comments? Questions? We always have a question.
During the process, the different stages of bhakti, you were talking about the nishtha and the ruchi and bhava and prem. I have had a very discouraging experience with a devotee who was 80 years old, and he was giving a lecture, and he was saying that he has not achieved and how he has not been able to accomplish any progress in his Krishna consciousness. He was just, complaining. I don't know what the word to use there, but he was not happy about it. So, my question is that, have you seen in your experience devotees really progressing through the different stages, or most of them struggling?
Yeah. I think most of them will stay kanista and
throughout the life.
Yeah, and hold on to material attachments, and therefore anartha-nivritti goes on very long. Right? But then at the end it goes very quickly, and they suddenly come to nista. See, when one is in his final days, then everything looks very different, and suddenly one can let go very easily, and very quickly advance, very quickly. Even that man of 80 years old, very quickly can advance. But if you take my lecture completely, then I spoke about progressing through those stages. But I also said something else. And what I said is that this chanting, this devotional service, it attracts the mercy. And even if one has not come to an advanced stage at 80 years old, and one laments, if one has faithfully served Krishna for a lifetime, all that benefit is there now. And so you're 80 years old. Say, Kadambakarna Swami, 80 years old, and he croaks it, right? If I ever make it till 80, I would do good. But anyway, then he dies, right? So what will happen? Yeah, then there's a meeting. There's a meeting, and they discuss his case. And they say, oh, Kadambakarna Swami, said, full of material desire, and like really like big false ego and all these things, don't know. Maybe it's good if he would do it one more time, you know? He didn't learn his lesson very well. Maybe he should just do it one more time. And then, sort of discussing like that, something up, but like, you know, there are some good things also, we should let him pass. Big discussion, if I should pass or not. And then someone will say, no, but wait a minute, he is one of Prabhupada's party. Oh, Prabhupada's party? Okay, let him go. So we should understand, he's one of Prabhupada's party, one of Lord Chaitanya's party, you know, he's in this line, so all that mercy is there. Prabhupada prayed, our spiritual masters have prayed, the previous acharyas have prayed, so, you know, like, what can Krishna do? That's okay, I think. They have to let us in. They'll let us in on the strength of mercy. And if one has faithfully chanted all this time, then don't worry so much where you are on the scale from Shraddha to praying. You know. See, there's also this thing which I sometimes talk about, and that is this. Is your guru a parama prista priya sakhi? Is he? Is your guru a parama prista priya sakhi?
If your guru is not a parama prista priya sakhi, how can he give you vraja prem?
What is your answer to this? Says a devotee who has been frequenting Radha Kunta, who has been growing a little cabbage on his chin. So what does he say? And what is our answer to that? You know, said like, they're making it all like so difficult to get there. And unless you get to praying, too bad. So here is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavananyaya Kisprimita, the most merciful incarnation. He freely distributes what has never been given before, Krishna praying, to the most fallen. And everyone gets the opportunity. Now, everybody, all over the world. But only very few will attain it. You know, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu takes his merciful mask off at the end and shows another face, you know. So that doesn't make sense. We're dealing with the most merciful avatar, the most merciful incarnation. He's not going to see, are you really advancing? Don't worry. Just be faithful and you attract the mercy. And that mercy will do it. If you didn't get to Krishna praying, we'll get it at the door. They'll give it to us at the door of the spiritual world. You've been faithful, you can go back to Godhead. Oh, by the way, take this. Ecstatically walking through the gates into the spiritual world. That's the mercy of Chaitanya.
There was a man called Yuri Geller.
Yuri Geller, the guy that could bend iron?
Yes. Yeah. So one time he went out in the ocean and the aim was to control sharks, to use his mental powers to actually get sharks to do what he wanted them to do. But the problem was that he didn't like the waves too much, so he spent most of his time using his mental powers to stop being seasick. So I was thinking in the same way, you know, is that what we should do rather than thinking, I've got to chant with Krishna Prem, just at least chant, as you said before, sincerely
and faithful. Yeah, so it's interesting, this whole thing, Shraddha to Prem. You know, it is interesting, and we also, from that explanation that I gave, Krishna Chakrabarti Thakur's explanation, Madhurya Kadambini, we're getting some really good insights there. But we should not make it too much, you know, go around and measure, you know, like me. How tall are you now?
Okay. I'm a dwarf. I'm just working on my son somehow.
Are you ever going to grow up?
Don't know.
Stay a dwarf throughout life? No. Will you ever mature in your bhakti? Well, mature devotee, sort of maturity means you come to nista, you know. And then you get like, and then you get a bit taller still, and ruchi. Don't worry about it. And, you know, this one's already there, that one's already there, and I'm not. No, I'm going to be left out. No. And Prabhupada said there's another ISKCON in the spiritual world. We'll all meet each other there. We're stuck with each other. But it's going to be improved. Yeah, that's also good. It's going to be an improved version. So that would be nice.
Is it better to actually, or maybe it was not better, but you know, if you accept the fact that like japa is going to be a struggle rather than, you know, going Hare Krishna with not even thinking about what we're doing, we just think, oh geez, that was an easy 16 rounds today, got through that really quick, that was simple, what's the problem? It's actually better to accept the fact that it really is a struggle in the beginning to chant properly.
Yeah, to do everything, you know, you can go on the altar and just like slap, 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 you know, did everything. Now you're supposed to clean it, so okay, it's got a cloth. Sorry. throw some flowers around, you know, and say, job done, you know. That's one way of doing it. The other way is to do it actually with attention. So it's about attentive chanting. I guess it just broke this piece. Or if it didn't break it, it might be off. I don't know.
It's still working.
Still working. Good. Okay, well, I'm going to stop anyway, unless someone is really like, you know, has a burning.